está Messi. And Jessica Rabbit on steroids. Take a look at this. This is Ronaldo. And that is 1-0 to Brazil.
Oh, can you believe that? Is that the icing on the cake or what? What a goal! What an absolute missile! A wry smile on the face of Jurgen Klopp. But what a thunderbolt! Where did Calhanoglu pull that one from?
Over the top. Oh, spectacular, Thiago! That one is one for history to look at. One of the goals of the season.
Picks out Rivaldo. Oh, he's seen the keeper off his line. Oh, extraordinary by Rivaldo.
Straight in, Thomas Muller with a beauty. Goalkeepers do not stop those.
Urgency up. James Rodriguez. Has to be a beautiful, absolutely brilliant. Now from Malouda, he's got Henry making a move ahead of him. Zidane stepping through the challenges, beating Patrick Vieira. Ravaging run from midfield. Tackled by Chuan, brought down by Chuan.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Joe Colangelo will be with us today. He'll join us in the second segment of this podcast. Just to get a little bit of the house cleaning out of the way first, you can reach us on their website, www.footballweekly.com. That's football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly.com. Also get at me at Twitter, at the @ReginaldDino. We have a Google Plus page for Football Weekly. We also have a YouTube channel. We're on iTunes, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher. There's a number of different ways you can get our podcast and subscribe to our podcast and listen to everything that we have to say. This episode, we're going to be talking about, as usual, we're going to be touching on our top five. This week, it's the top five North American players of all time, in our books anyway. We'll speak about something localized in Toronto. The signing of Sebastian Giovinco for Toronto FC from Juventus. It's a pretty big deal here. And also, we might touch a little bit on the Man City-Arsenal game that was played this last weekend and my thoughts and views on it, as well as we'll get Joe to chime in on that as well. Pretty busy show. Hopefully, we can entertain. We also actually have a correction from one of our subscribers and listeners. Got back to us via email and let us gave us a little bit of information about something that we spoke about last week with the World 11 selection. So we'll discuss that a little bit as well. So as usual, sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast. And we'll be back after this. As mentioned in the intro, Joe Colangelo will be joining us in this segment. Joe, say hi to the people.
Hello, everyone.
Back again for another week.
I'm pumped, Reg.
You're pumped. Why are you pumped, Joe?
I'm excited that there's people who are keeping us on our toes.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, for sure. Definitely,
right? So
for sure.
So our listeners are making sure that we got our stuff together.
And I thought we were the experts, right?
We need all the help we can get. Or I do.
Well, definitely I do. You're damn right. But like Joe mentioned, we had one of our subscribers from the Player FM feed got back to us via email. For those of you that aren't aware, you can get to us the email address admin@footballweekly.com. It's on the website as well. Got back to us and let us know we were speaking about the FIFA World 11 or the FitPro World 11, I should say. We made some comments about the way that the teams were picked, and
yeah,
we made a couple of mistakes. Maybe not mistakes, but maybe we weren't as informed.
Oversights,
as we should be.
I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
he dotted our I's, crossed our T's. We just go. Sometimes we just get excited about hammering FIFA.
Yeah, I know I do. as soon as I see something bad about FIFA, bam!
Yeah.
I read half the article and I just rip them. Yeah. But Anyways.
He kept us in line, and we like that. We do appreciate it. I like it.
Yeah, he did. He definitely did. Subscriber Carl Martins got back to us and let us know that the formations that are involved in the Fit Pro picking by the players and the coaches isn't like left back, center back, two center backs, and one right back. It could be four center backs.
That's right.
And it could be four center midfielders in the midfield.
Kind of like we said about the forwards, too. Like, if just to try to include what they believe would be the best players, right?
Right, right. Yeah, so okay. it's not by position. Yeah. So, like I said, you could have four center backs back there if you want. That's why I was kind of thrown off when you had Thiago Silva on the left-hand side. you know what I mean? But anyways. So that and also that FIFA really has nothing to do with the picking. It's done by the coaches and the players, but they're all sanctioned by FIFA, so they still have some...
We're just trying to find an angle to say you're right.
Right.
But we want to still get on the FIFA.
Exactly.
That's what I'm trying to say. But we do appreciate it for sure.
Exactly, exactly. So, like we always say, if you want to drop comments or if you want to let us know when we're totally off our rockers, you can get to us on email, admin@footballweekly.com. We'll definitely reply, and if you're correct, we'll definitely mention it on the show. All right, so thank you to Carl Martins, and we'll push on to the rest of episode 15. Today we're going to start off with our top fives. I know it's a new segment that we started last week where we take the top five of whatever topic that we're going to discuss. And
we need a list. We need lists, right? We're good. Like, all these shows have lists. Our lists are good.
Yeah, I think our lists are amazing.
We could be way off. This is where we want you guys to tell us. What the hell are they thinking?
Yeah, exactly. If you have any complaints or disagreements with anything that we've said, just get to us, and we'll definitely bring it up and mention it and think about it. But if you have any ideas about lists that you think we should do, definitely let us know that as well. Okay, so today's top five list is the top five North American players of all time. Joe, do you want to start off?
Well, okay, I went North America, but I went American players. And here's why.
Okay. So you have no Canadians in there?
I don't. And here's why I don't.
You don't have any Alex, no Alex Bumberies?
No, man. And I keep thinking of our TSN here and Vic Router calling Bunbury, Bunbury for all you Canadian listeners in the old CSL. But here's why I don't have my Canadians in there. Because we haven't done anything of late, and it's because I love Canadian soccer that is why I'm not including them, because we can't be happy with the state of events. We can't be happy with our mediocrity. So we always said on our show we got to fix it, so we always say that, you know, like, Americans with our rivalry, well, today they're getting some love, and I think they deserve it because of they're putting players on the world stage.
No D-Row?
Not going with it. Okay. I love D-Row. I'm not doing it. Today, it's for our stars and stripes.
Oh, you know what? I don't have any Canadians either.
Yeah, I figured that. But I think we're both saying something.
Yeah. All right, so you want to get the ball rolling, or
I do. Okay, can I go with my honorable mentions first?
Joe, do whatever you want.
Yeah, I like my honorable mentions because I think they're going to make you laugh. But I think they agree. Okay, my first honorable mention just almost cracked my list. Mm-hmm. Eric Winalda.
I hate that guy.
Where's the chuckle already?
I hate that guy.
I knew you loved him, Eric Winalda. I believe Reggie was the recipient of an elbow in the 2006 World Cup.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Maybe from De Rossi. But scored a few, couple American goals. Wore that famous, ugly, if you will, 1994 jersey.
Oh, the Stars and Stripes.
Stars and Stripes, and kind of looked like jeans denim. And Eric Winalda is just outside. And then, Reggie, a throwback. Mm. When I mean a throwback, I'm taking you back to 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Italia 90.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Caligiuri. I think he even wore number 20.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, throwback.
I guess a Caligiuri had to be in the team going to Italy.
I could have said Tony Meola.
Could have. I thought Tony Meola on the list.
You know, like the party in the back, business in the front, haircut.
Oh yeah, that's right. Eh?
Those are my outs. You know, my just didn't make my cut. So I'm going to work my way from bottom to top, I guess.
Okay. Oh, and I gotta get back on that one. I hate. Have you heard him? Have you heard him as a commentator for soccer, Eric Winaldo, I'm talking about?
It's hard.
Every time he opens his mouth, I take one goal off his tally for his career. Oh my God.
I knew it would excite you. See, I'm thinking of you too with this. I'm thinking of what can get you, you know, maybe if it's really cold in our part of the world here.
Yeah, right.
What can get you going? What should get you fired up, Reg? What I'm here to do.
Yeah, I'm holding my hat, Eric Winaldo. You got to be kidding me. But okay, go.
Gets better. Yeah. Okay. Well, in terms of Toronto FC, this is a local connection for us here in the GTA, but we know we got listeners everywhere. Mm. Michael Bradley is number five.
I have him,
You know, we can honestly say he's world-class. He was world-class before he got to TFC, so this is not a homer thing.
Right.
God knows we criticize him enough, so I think Michael Bradley is my number five.
And the only thing, I had him on my list as well, and the only thing that I was kind of put off by maybe putting him on. I know you can't doubt his quality, but he was also offered a lot of opportunities to play for the national team due to the fact of his dad, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So but I don't know if it's that, you know, I'm picking my son to play on the team.
Yeah.
If it was warranted back then, because I wasn't really following him back then. But no doubt he's definitely a world-class North American, I'd say.
Yeah, and if you look at the last 3 years of his career, I think he's really
For sure.
shown that he's a world-class player.
But it helps when your dad's the team, the national team coach. But
It doesn't hurt. Listen, whether it's youth soccer or pro soccer, you better be good if your dad's the coach.
Hey, damn right. Well, hey, not always, Joe.
Please do tell.
Not always. If your dad's the coach, you're the best player. Not always. But anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
Go on.
Okay, so he's my number five. At number four, gotta have love for one of the many American goalkeepers. Kind of the easy pick coming off the 2014 World Cup, but even before then, Tim Howard has been a phenomenal player. I mean, you could do a top five goalies. The keepers of the United States produce are pretty impressive.
Yep.
You know, I was gonna put Brad Guzan in this, but I'm gonna go with Tim Howard.
I like Guzan better than Howard, but anyways.
Yeah, well, many would argue that, too, for sure. And he might be, I would imagine he would be now the USA's number one by the time the World Cup comes around. But I got Howard at number four on my list.
Okay.
At number three, I got a classy player, one of many U.S. players to really splash on the scene in the U.K., if you will, and in Europe, and be a Champions League player, too, when they were the mighty Rangers, Claudio Reyna.
Yeah, I have him too.
Yeah, right? So Claudio Reyna always struck me as he was an amazing player. He was almost like Michael Bradley, not in terms of, let's say, play, but in terms of the impact.
Right.
Right? As an American getting a lot of credit on the world stage, and I thought that was pretty cool. And he's so beloved still at that club. And like I said, one of the oldest clubs in the world in terms of following. You know, the Rangers-Celtic kind of derby, right?
Yeah, and he moved on. And he moved on and played at high levels in Germany as well, right?
He did, yeah, absolutely.
He played for Wolfsburg.
So, I mean, those are two pretty good leagues one pretty good league, and, you know, a club that played in on Champions League and did pretty well. So,
right.
I'm going with Reyna.
Yep.
I think my next two are pretty obvious. We probably have these two guys here. I think two for one, you can kind of swap. Number two on my list is Clint Dempsey.
Yeah, I have him too.
Right? I mean,
there's only so many guys you can put on this list, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, Clint Dempsey he's proven. I still think of Clint Dempsey as a Fulham player.
Right.
You know,
that's when he did his
there.
Most business, right? That's when he did his most business, so.
That's where he kind of, you know, not kind of, he made his mark, and I think he's a great player. I mean, I really do. I like watching Clint Dempsey. Number one, I think everyone's going to be surprised, right?
Mm.
Yeah, it's Landon Donovan.
No way!
Yeah, I know. Listen, shockers are happening all over the place. Paul Caligiuri, Landon Donovan, it was close. Maybe Jose Altidore. Oh,
buddy,
no
that's,
way.
That's not who I have as number one.
Yeah, so I got Donovan, and it's obvious for me.
Yeah.
He's always been a quality player wherever he's been. You know, again, left his mark. Like you said, with Reyna in Germany too, he played, and did a great job at Everton and so on and so on, LA Galaxy, MLS Cup, blah, blah, blah.
He surprised me when he went to over to England. I thought, oh, this guy's going to get destroyed. He held his own there. He was pretty good though, over
he
at Everton.
Well.
He
yeah,
did really
he,
well.
He did.
I guess,
you know, like, true professional in terms of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we look at his numbers, I mean, you know, like, they just, they're impressive.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so, and he's a winner, like, okay, in the domestic, you know, MLS league, okay. We've talked about the lower level in terms of comparison to Europe, but he did, he set a trend. He changed the game here in terms of exposure, too. He's helped that. I mean, we know, hey, we got it. He played with David Beckham, and that was a lot of exposure and so on, but Landon Donovan is, I would say, unquestionably one of the most influential American players. I know we left out a lot of guys, but that's why they're lists, and that's why you argue over them. Right, Reg?
Well, exactly. And my top five was, we had four of the five of my list the same, but that's not my number one.
I like it.
My number one played women's football.
Oh, you see? You didn't tell me that little.
Oh, hey, top five North American players, man.
Because, I mean, I have two
men,
great
women,
female
kid.
Players.
Yeah, well, I have Mia Hamm as number one.
Well, how do you argue with Mia Hamm?
You can't really.
Yeah, and she either held the record for most goals, and it's now been broken, but she was the benchmark, wasn't she?
Yeah, for sure, for women's soccer, right? Well, yeah, for women's soccer, most definitely.
Nice, Mia Hamm.
158 goals, over 270 plus appearances, I think, and numerous golds and championships, four NCAA championships, I think, in 4 years.
Yeah, yeah. Like and again, the standard of that, how many professional players or players that went on to play in the U.S. women's national team from that collegiate,
yeah, right,
you know, ranks is huge, and they went on to win World Cup, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, World Cups, golds, everything. So that's who I have number one. Sorry.
That's a nice curveball.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's not sorry.
Yeah, so that's our list for this week, top five North American players. Like I said earlier in the podcast, if you want to send us emails about lists that you want to hear about, definitely, but we'll keep it up. I think this is a fun segment that we do.
It's going.
So next we're going to speak about a local issue, actually, for people that live in Canada, but mainly Toronto. Toronto FC made a big signing this week.
Big little signing, Reg.
Big little. Oh, so now we have another thing, like a bloody big deal. Big little signing,
like big,
right?
A little big deal.
All right.
Kind of a little something. I don't know.
All right. For those that haven't heard, Toronto FC signed Juventus attacker, midfielder, and I guess Italian national team player.
He's been in there, and he's also not getting first team football for Juventus, but right. He is a regular in the call ups for the national team.
National team.
His former club coach Antonio Conte still believes in him, but
right. Toronto FC signed Sebastian Giovinco this week.
For 7 million reasons, Reg.
Oh, for 7 million reasons. And I would sign for 7 million reasons any day of the week, buddy.
Yeah.
So $7 million over 4 years, I believe.
He's the highest paid player, Reg, by far, in comparison to any Serie A player.
Yeah.
So that's, we'll talk about, what right, I
so
think about that after.
I'm not too, I know him. I've seen him play. I don't watch Serie A as much as I do EPL and Bundesliga and La Liga.
Sure. Yeah.
So I was always looking for somebody who was a Serie A guy so that I can come on and talk Serie A. So if you want to explain to the people a little bit about Sebastian Giovinco and where you see this going.
Well, we're hoping he's going to be like a Joao Plata and not Joao Plata at Toronto FC, who I liked.
I like Joao Plata.
Me too, right? So he's a smaller guy, obviously. He's a dynamic player. When given the right chance, play. You know, we hear about all this, and everyone's getting into their, I think that they, you know, their FIFA video game stuff, where he plays here and there. Well, listen, he's not going to be a target striker. He can play, you know, behind a bigger striker, which obviously they sign out the door. Very creative. Obviously, if he's coming from that caliber, he's 28 years old, 27 years old, could be a playmaker. Also has a bit of a scoring touch. Just didn't get regular team football. He's probably, yes, he did play at Juventus. But it's some of his best times were spent when he was on loan at Empoli, smaller club, mm-hmm. and Parma,
right.
which he really had a breakout kind of year there and went back to Juventus. Grew up in the Juventus club. Dynamic player, no doubt.
Right.
No doubt. Should be a quality player in MLS.
Oh, well,
my concern,
right?
Will he stick it out?
And I have that written down here as well as my main concern. And you, I'm sorry, but you always look back at what happened last year.
And we
discussed this last episode as well, where we talked about Jermaine Defoe's motivation to sign for Toronto FC to make the World Cup team. And once he didn't make the World Cup team, like we said last week, my groin hurts, and that's the last time we ever saw him play.
Just interesting, and now there's reports coming out that his mom actually had a lot of influence.
Yeah, I heard that right? This week that we had another Vince Carter.
Yeah, I was just going to say we had the comparison of that. So, yeah. And this is someone who doesn't struggle with the language. So, this is Jovinko who, listen, for years, there's always an angle with MLS and MLSC in marketing, right? We get it. We understand that.
Right.
And we know what part of the marketing thing would be with Jovinko is, hey, Italian community here, kind of like Nesta and, DeVaio and Ferrari in Montreal. We get it. They're kind of working that. That's a big thing to sway the player to. It has to be, other than the 7 million reasons.
Right.
But is he going to feel at home here? Is he going to buy into the culture of being and living in Toronto? Right? Is that going to wear off? Because, like we said, there's Defoe. He didn't. Are the players going to take it serious enough who come over? This is not a knock. I have no knowledge of it. That's just something that I'm guessing to say, is he going to stick this out? I mean, this is a player who's 27 years old, 28 years old, right. Still would be in the prime of his career.
Right.
And yes, the league is getting better, but are still people, if you're wanting to play for your country and maybe, achieve those soccer and football goals that we talked about, is the place. We're skeptical, and I think this is what you're saying about the Defoe thing. I'm excited, but I have a much, much more guarded excitement over Jovinko.
Right. Well, so do I. And to your point, Steven Gerrard came out in an interview and he was talking about coming to LA and he was like, well, I'm not going for a holiday. And for someone to have to come out and say that is kind of,
exactly.
You know what I mean? It kind of raises red flags that this guy has to come out and tell people. People are asking him, well, what are you doing over there? And he's like, I'm not going for a holiday. I'm just going to play. And it's just like, well.
That's right.
that's what it is. It's Club Med over here,
right? If
they
were signed anywhere else in the world, they're not saying that.
No, for sure. No,
if or in certain places, right?
You know what I mean? If he wants to play in, wherever, Spain, he's not going for a holiday. He's going to play. But as soon as you say MLS, it's like, oh, well, yeah, career's over. I just want that last payday, blah, blah, blah.
And this is what we're all concerned about, right? And that's the league thing. And we talk about integrity of the league still, people taking it seriously. Is it going to be Club Med? Is Jovinko going to stay? And that's what we need to see. Now, we've already got some signs of it. Yeah, we're being critical. He's coming in July. Now, there are reports saying in Italy that he might come earlier. And that is actually gaining a lot of steam.
Earlier, 2 months from now or earlier in May?
Yeah, good point. Earlier, like when the season starts.
Yeah, because for those of you that don't know, MLS starts in March.
Right.
So for someone to come in July, end of July, is like the season's half done.
And I don't have any, this is me just thinking, but I sometimes people like, we all know everyone wants to start rumors and stuff, but I think MLS, from what I'm hearing, is still trying to push us because of what we talked about in integrity of the league and making sure that players come over for the duration. So I'm not sure how it's going to work.
Well,
not sure.
Your three major, I guess Kaká and David Villa, but your three other major signings aren't going to be joining your MLS teams until July. And that's Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard, and now Jovinko.
Kaká is the only one, right? You're right.
Kaká and David Villa are the only ones that are going to be joining their teams for the start. And you wouldn't see that in the EPL.
No, and that's why I think those two, because of what you just said, I mean, David Villa is, okay, I get it. He's gone to New York. And
right.
Everybody wants to be in New York.
Right.
Right? So his whole family's moved there. He's been there for a while. He's truly immersed himself in the culture.
Right.
Right? Kaká's the same kind of deal. Those who don't know, but Kaká's really, a family-oriented person and so on, almost in the realm of, if you want to compare to Cafu, right?
Right.
That kind of ambassador role, just a character thing. This is not a knock on any of the guys. Not coming, but we don't know. But those two, we kind of can say that, hey, we think that if anyone's going to work, it'll be them. And again, not because they won't be able to play. I think we all know that, listen, if Giovinco is happy here, he should excel here. I mean, we've talked about the league being, you know, in comparison to what he's played at. He should do well on the field. He should. There's no reason why he should not.
Definitely.
Kid's talented. You know, player's talented. Has a bag of talent. But is he going to stick it out?
Well, that's the main question, right?
There are a lot of reasons, like we talked about, money for sure. I'm sure they're going to put him up, you know, and get him immersed in a culture that makes him feel at home. International city, we get it.
Well, that's another thing that I wanted to, sorry to cut you off, but that's another thing that I wanted to talk about is I know players, I lived in the States for a little bit, and there was a MLS team, DC United there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Large Spanish community there, and we brought in this player named Marco Echeverry.
Okay. Oh, there you go. Bolivian international.
Yeah, Marco Echeverry was a fantastic player.
Yeah, and this guy was probably one of MLS's best ever.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, when he first came, he was garbage, but then he got acclimated to the situation and the place, and he was fine. But I mean, he was there for 4 or 5 years and couldn't speak a word of English.
So the
thing that I'm a little bit concerned about is having, I know we have there's a humongous Italian population here in Toronto, and I just don't want him to just, you know, keep himself to that population. And for the first little bit of the time that he's here, I don't know if he knows any English or anything like that. So to get him, you know, comfortable, to have a lot of Italians and, you know, Italian customs around him, he's got to understand and learn English, right? And,
absolutely.
And get to know the rest of the place, and that might be the biggest.
Even in training, right? I mean,
right? Exactly. Everything. Exactly. And I'm still confused. Like you said earlier, I'm still confused on why Defoe didn't pan out here. He didn't have to learn the language. You know what I mean? He can go anywhere in the city and get anything he wants because he knows what he's talking about, but.
He was hanging out with Drake.
I don't understand why it didn't work. I do know why it didn't work out, but you know.
So that's the critical part. At TFC, hey, is Bez Bochenko and Vanny, are they doing the rounds this week because of this, right? We heard, you know, their USL Pro team now.
Right.
Right? It's gonna be based in Vaughan.
Right.
Soccer center. 5,000 seats gonna be put in there. You know, just north of northwest of the GTA,
right
here. So, like, you know, let's say what, Reg, 25, 30 minutes from the city.
Yep.
I mean, you know, like this is, and again, in Vaughan, I know it's a, you know, traditionally been, you know, very cultured, you know, toward Italian Canadians. It's obviously it's changed. There's different cultures there all the time, but you know, there's got to be some type of, you know, method behind this madness. Great for TFC. I mean, we're talking about Giovinco. I'm a grassroots guy. You know that. I'm really excited for the USL Pro thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I'll go to some games, definitely.
Well, I was going to tell you. I was just going to say, for me, being a wacky kind of grassroots guy, I would rather watch them sometimes. I get it. Listen, I want to watch Top Flight too, but, you know, it's knowing these kids or giving them a chance, right? And listen, it's going to be used, as from what we've heard, like a reserve team. It is a reserve team, but if a guy like, you know, Giovinco was coming off injury or whatever, he might have a game there to get himself, you know, his legs ready. So
isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a beautiful thing? isn't that amazing to have?
So,
10 years later?
it's almost like, you know, yeah, exactly, late. But that's what I'm worried about, this Giovinco. Listen, played in the World Cup or played in major competitions, played for, you know, a major country in soccer. I mean, here we go again, but I'm like you. If this, you know, because of what happened a year ago, we're very skeptical. So we're hopeful. It looks great on paper, but I think we're saying we've been down this road before.
No, definitely. And I'm
so this is my time to talk about the funeral that, you know, of a league, possibly a requiem for a league.
Oh, buddy, if Giovinco leaves next year, or even after the second year, he leaves, done. TFC's done.
Got some problems.
Because for me, and you know me, first couple of years I was there.
Yeah.
And I'm not going back. I'm still not going back. You can sign whoever the hell you want. I'm not.
Well,
give me
you're
free.
Waiting for some of the flash to have some substance.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's the thing. It's that we're not being like haters and stuff. But listen, is it a rant? You damn right it's a rant. Enough's enough. let's be first class. Listen, MLSE is first class in business, first class in marketing. We need some substance now.
Well,
I know we've heard it before. I actually believe in Greg Vanney. I believe in the steps in place. I've said it millions of times on this. I'm a grassroots guy. I believe in Stuart Neely, who's now the academy director. Jason Bent, former Canadian international, played in England.
Right.
I think we'll do well with the young guys. So, I mean, the steps are in place now. But the big team's got to come through.
Yeah.
Like these guys, now we got Jose Altidore, Giovinco.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to come through.
Well,
we talked about Michael Bradley.
And they're signing, they're supposed to be signing a Polish defender as well.
Defender, yeah.
Yeah, so,
you know.
Well, Joe, like you know, and like the probably some of the listeners don't know, getting down to this, and this might be the same thing in other cities as well, but to watch losing a team lose all the time is different, and it's expensive to get down there. It's expensive to park. Beers are, I don't even want to talk about it, how expensive
typical,
they are.
It's typical MLSE. I hate to say what it is.
And you want to buy a jersey, it's $149.
Yeah.
And you haven't made the playoffs in 10 years. And you switch your coaches every year.
If you're a season ticket holder, you get $10 off.
Oh, you get $10.
Come $10.
And a free scarf. All right.
Come on. This is enough, right? Like, listen, here's what I think. Here's what I propose. These guys don't make the playoffs this year.
Mm-hmm.
Team is going to change their colors to blue and white.
For the Leafs.
I mean, you got it. I mean, it has to be Toronto Maple Leafs FC.
Oh, God.
Has to be, because this is, we're done with this mediocrity.
Yeah, but people, you know, like, still go.
Well,
as soon as you put Maple Leafs on it, buddy, you can't get a ticket in the city. They can lose every game 10-0, and people will still go.
They're still going to go. And again, this is still because it's creeping into Toronto FC, and let's hope that it doesn't. Let's hope these guys get it done. Let's be hopeful of it.
There's one constant between the two, and that's the ownership, right?
Yeah. So. I mean, listen, do they take a beating? Damn right, they deserve to.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they deserve to. So, I mean, let's see it happen. You know, let's see it happen. Let's make this happen. Let's, you know, get excited about results, not just hype.
Yeah.
Right? So we get guys like me and you back there.
I was excited last year, but then I got smacked in the face. So,
yeah.
I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say
it. Right?
I'm not
going to
say
it.
Exactly.
You know?
I'm not going to say. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, sorry, I mean, just to. The Giovinco signing and the $7 million we're talking about, I mean, obviously I watch and have grown up more with Serie A and am one of the, you know, diehard supporters of a league that just has really, really suffered financially and where it used to be on the world stage. It used to be number one. We talked about this in terms of, not number one maybe of play, but number one where stars were there. Zidane, Ronaldo, yada. Those days are long gone.
Right.
Right? We know that. But this is an important signing. If we look at this, maybe if we, you know, track this later on. So Giovinco leaves at $7 million, you know, not even getting a full game, getting that money.
Right.
Michael Bradley, $6 million last year, I believe.
Right.
Again, not getting a full game all the time, but
right.
A quality player.
Six and a half.
Are more players going to leave Serie A? Or not even choose it and to go to MLS because of the American, North American lifestyle?
Well,
the money. Right?
It's kind of tough because of the DPs, and that's another problem that TFC has this year because they have designated players. You're only allowed, what, three? Three
right.
designated
we,
players?
We kind of think, we can all assume who the odd guy out is going to be this
and
year.
And that's a shame.
Because he actually was playing well.
He was playing well, and for those of you that don't know, it's Joe Biscay.
And stuck around and didn't want to leave.
Exactly.
So this is what I'm saying. So it's back to the same thing. So this is, for me, it's a kind of, yeah, I'm skeptical. And again, I'm really, on the other side of it, I'm skeptical of what it's going to mean for one of Europe's traditional powerhouse leagues, too. I think this might be a stepping stone. I really do believe that because of the almighty dollar and the opportunity to make a living here with marketing and so on.
But how would that work as far as being, not homegrown, but how would they come over from Serie A if say, a team like Toronto FC, they can't sign anybody else outside of...
you know what, Reg? Here's what I think. I think it'll be more like this. Let's say players who are more prone to come in, let's say from South America or the other Europe's smaller leagues or countries,
mm-hmm.
instead of choosing Serie A, they might choose MLS. So even before they even get there, I think.
Oh, okay, I hear what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like,
I
and that's, again, something I've... And if we have Serie A followers out there, that's what I see. And I think you can... A test. I've always been one kind of looking at it with like the proper glasses instead of the rose-colored ones.
Right. Well, maybe maybe later on, some of the other episodes upcoming, we can talk about the state of different leagues and where they are as far as, you know, homegrown talent and money and...
Well, Reg, if you want, like, really expert opinions, all you got to do, Reg, is I think you know where to go find those Italian supporters who are so knowledgeable, Reg, and you can just meet them at, like, TFC's grounds, and I'm sure
Buddy, those guys
really
know...
educated view.
Those guys know two teams, Juve and AC Milan. That's it.
What do you think, Reg? You know, and maybe, like, actually, Reg, I know where you want to go to find out all the best information. I think you want to wait till there's a major competition again and wait till the first half is over and then run out on the streets and see the guys with the flags maybe ask them about what... I think that's... Okay, so I got it, Rich. Yeah. I understand now. As long as you make this clear for me.
Oh, man. It's bad here, eh? Oh, my God. Anyways, when Euro or World Cup hits, oh, buddy, it's like you score the first goal and those guys running around with the freaking flags and going nuts, eh? And it's just like, it's just a big party,
you know,
too, but still.
Reg, a World Cup win in 2006 gave me a little bit of hope for a bit, like a rest, but I'm back to being that, you know, I call being an Italian soccer fan of the national team sometimes like a, although they've had success, a Chicago Cubs kind of... concept. Like, you know, you gotta have some tough skin, boy. But let's see. Let's hope this guy comes out. And listen, to listeners out there, I would say, you know, it's not a North American thing, because it is a North American thing not to support the youth leagues and so on. We see it all the time in the UK. We see it all the time in Europe, South America. I'm sure it's like that in Africa. Support your local clubs, the young sectors of the team, because
Yeah, definitely. You have to get out there and support the youth that are coming up. I wish Canada did that 20 years ago, but it's a different subject for a different show. So
again, a lot of hope.
But
hope's got to turn into results, right, Reg?
Yeah, definitely. Most definitely. Okay. I mean, it's one thing to have the team, one thing to have the structure in place. It's another thing to win and keep the fans and keep the players wanting to come and play here. So
yeah, for sure.
To end off the show, actually, we're going to talk about one of the bigger games from last weekend's fixtures, and we're going to go to the EPL, and we're going to discuss a little bit about...
Was it Stoke and West Brom?
Yeah, it might have been Stoke and West Brom. The rugby team versus West Brom, I guess. I don't know. But we're going to speak about the Arsenal-Manchester City game, and for those of you that have been listening to the podcast from the beginning know that I'm a big Arsenal fan. Very, very
little bit.
Very, very nervous before the game started because I know the record that Arsenal has going to bigger clubs, especially away to bigger clubs, and the results. I think 5-0, 6-2 are out of the realm of possibilities. 6-3 even. Last time I think we went to, or 2 games ago, we went to Man City. We lost 6-3. So very, very nervous about this game, but pleasantly surprised after the 11th minute. Arsenal actually came in with a plan. Usually the Arsenal plan is we're Arsenal and you got to adapt to us and this is how we're going to play for 90 minutes even though it's not working. But
they were very methodical.
It was beautiful to watch.
You know, this team always gets, you know, charged or with saying, hey, you know what, accused of, I should say, being soft, quote-unquote, you know, being too pretty, intricate passing but not going anywhere, not having, you know, not being tactically aware enough. And I think that's a bunch of crap, you know, and I think this was like a message to say, hey, listen, we can win. We can get results here. And they did. They went on the road, had a plan. Like I said, every Arsenal fan, maybe including me, including you, will be very upset when I say this. It almost looked like Mourinho Chelsea like.
Well, yeah, it did. It said, hey, we're playing this way. Play this way. Don't stray from the script. And they didn't. And
to me, this we've talked about this before. I think if you let Arsenal, if you have Santi Cazorla and, you know, Sanchez, you know, making that music, everyone else just got to push that machine, the piano box.
Right.
And I think they did. I think that was classic. I thought they were organized. They had purpose. You know, and listen, Arsenal still can dance and still can, you know, play in a way that not many other teams in the world can do it. I think they're gritting their teeth here. They're earning some results. And Wenger, you're an Arsenal fan, takes a beating, but you know what? You gotta give him credit. That's a huge result.
They didn't concede
a goal.
But where, Joe, where has it been for a year, 2 years? Where has that mentality been for 2 years? Why does it take us, everyone, all Arsenal fans, wanting to kill this guy for him to say, you know what, let's do something else this time?
You know, I think we're creatures of habit, and not I think we are.
Not when that much money's on the line, buddy. You got to find a way to get this thing done.
Again, I think that's what it is. I think it's because, you know, he's always been. Listen, this is an Arsenal. This is an Arsene Wenger who, never mind the last couple of years, 5 years. Let's go back to Dennis Bergkamp, Robert Pires. These guys were, I mean, dare I say, three on three. These guys, Ian Wright, these guys were entertaining and winning.
Right.
And he had that winning mentality. And he takes a beating, and he has a style.
Yeah, but the style is from back then, right? And you got to adapt to what you're doing now. Like,
for sure.
Chelsea wouldn't play the same way as they played 10 years ago now.
No, and I think it's like you said, it's a results-based thing. It's a results-based thing that has, you know, it's a results-based league, obviously, because of what you said of the money and so on. That's, you know, made it very intriguing for a team to play a style that's just compact, you know, gonna go be great going forward. But I always say Arsenal has the makeup for that.
Right.
Who else could kill you on a counter like Arsenal? I mean, they could kill you on it. So, dare I say, I mean, it's one game. You know, sometimes one game can turn and there's pivotal moments that change things. Maybe going forward, maybe, I know we always hear this, but, you know, I know you're not ready to say the trophy's coming our way because it's a long way.
No chance.
But, but I'm not so sure this doesn't change Arsenal. And you talk about a mentality and an approach.
You being a coach know that when you play different teams, you have to have a different approach to the game. You can't go into the. You're not Barcelona where everyone's scared shitless about you.
Where
you have to adapt to them and what they're doing. Sometimes you have to adapt to what the other team's doing to you. And Arsenal wasn't doing that. Play the same way for 90 minutes. Not working, keep playing. You can't do that.
I agree. I think your frustration as an Arsenal fan is, we talked about this both before, but all flash and no dash. You want some of that dash.
I've seen.
You want to make sure there's meat under there, right?
Exactly.
I tell you, as a neutral, I think there is. I think this team. Listen, you've heard me speak about this before. Alexis Sanchez and Santi Cazorla are going to bring this team forward in the next couple of years. I really believe this.
Well, hopefully, Santi stays. Because there's rumors saying Santi, Xavi wants Santi at Barcelona.
I could see why wouldn't you?
I think
this is a case where, I mean, Cesc Fabregas, where was his best football? Hey, listen, Cesc Fabregas played great football right now. He's an Arsenal guy.
Even he says that.
This was a chance for these two guys to really cement themselves here.
Right.
Remember, Dennis Bergkamp went there, and his career was in, like, you know,
from Inter, right?
Yeah, and they clearly misused that guy.
Right.
I mean, he was one of the world's best with them. So does this change them? Does this make them win the title in May? I get the answer, but are they going to be an easy out when the tough gets going? I don't think so anymore.
Why
so
not?
I think, you know what? Kudos to Arsene Wenger. I mean, and everyone, a lot of Arsenal fans are probably throwing stuff as they're listening to this. Say, what the hell does this guy know? But I love that performance.
Yeah, it was a great performance, but I want to make sure that it rolls on, especially now that we're coming up to an important time of the season where Champions League is here now, and you know, the second half of the season is already underway, and it's now time to make moves. And every loss, every drop point is big, especially how tight the race is. So if we can play like this for the rest of the season or you know, even have a plan B, or maybe, God forbid, have a plan C, I think we'll do well. But you just can't go with plan A every minute of every game.
As a neutral, can I say that you guys just you know, play lights out and just dazzle the hell out of me at the Emirates and just go get the results at the other places? I'm good with that.
Well,
I'm good with that. You want to call it parking the damn bus? Man, that's Chelsea. Everybody thinks about parking the damn bus. That just bothers me. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I hate that term too. But
let's just call it. Can Arsenal just be? Listen, here's what Arsenal is to me. Okay, they don't got a party every time like it's New Year's Eve. You know, sometimes you can go out on a Thursday night and have a couple of drinks.
Yeah, exactly, right? It doesn't have to be.
Always
yeah,
have to
exactly.
Go out and get absolutely lit up.
Exactly, I know.
And I think that's what you want, happy medium.
Exactly. Go on the road like Chelsea does, squeak out a point if you can, get the win, and then yeah. Smash teams at home.
Have your cheap bottle of wine on the road.
Yeah, and then smash teams at home, man.
Hey, listen, I'm pulling out the vintage stuff at home.
Exactly. Exactly. That guys come in here and then leave with no points. That's exactly what you have to do. And then squeak out a point or two on the road or a couple of wins on the road, a point here, 3 points there on the road, but all three at home every time. And you're laughing. You're laughing. But anyways.
Now, Reg, I was ready to give you guys the title, but I think this next bit of news and we're going to clean up transfers, I was hoping he'd wear some red. And not the Manchester United red.
Well,
it looks like it might be blue.
Yeah, it looks like it might be blue.
You want to tell our listeners?
Juan Cuadrado, Colombian.
Wow.
Oh, you like how I did that, eh?
That's a nice name.
Yeah, Colombian strike. Well, is he a striker, midfielder, winger? What is he?
Hacking player, Chivinco type.
Oh, brother. Looks like he's on his way from Fiorentina to...
Well, they're saying Chelsea, right, Reds? They're saying Chelsea.
Right.
I think Roman Abramovich is ready to just let loose some of that billionaire dust.
Oh, he's not going to pay $500 million for Messi?
Jeez.
No?
Wow. I can't believe that this is a whole nother show for me, but Luis Enrique, like, come on. Like, really?
Yeah, wow.
Like, come on. Get a hold of yourself. But anyway.
You can't get along with Messi. I don't know, bro. But anyway.
I just don't understand. It's like, hey. Go ahead, I'll just kind of sit here and try to look okay.
Exactly, right? You can't...
you
can't get your coach... The coach can't get LeBron. Get along with LeBron James. Isn't going to win a championship, so...
I just don't think it's going to happen. Hey, dare I say it? Maybe Eric Spoelstra should come and give him a few tips.
Yeah, just let him do whatever he wants, and I'll sit over here and collect rings, man.
Just look good, sweat a little bit. Make it look like you're angry. But, you know, this Cuadrado to Chelsea thing, I don't know. Do I really want to see him there? No. I'd like to see him in, I know I'm saying Manchester United too, but this is where I'd love, could you imagine him and Alexis Sanchez?
Oh, well.
I think it's going to be Chelsea because of the money, right?
Yeah, but again, like we said a couple of, well, it was the last podcast or a couple of podcasts ago about the Wilfred Bonny signing. It's like, when you go to a team like Chelsea and you're that type of player, there's three other guys in front of you.
Yeah,
but you have to displace.
Where I think why Alexis Sanchez is different, and we always go back to this, but can you get to a bigger club than Barcelona?
Right.
He already had that pressure,
right.
And by all means, he wasn't, you know, top five in the world, but he was good. He was still pretty good there. You know, you're going in to play at Chelsea. This is not Fiorentina, with all due respect.
Right.
You know, and yes, he had a good World Cup, and yes, Cuadrado's a great player, but this is, you know, it's results. And pressure cooker every day. Whereas I always say, you know, when you're playing for those mid-level European clubs, and my gosh, Fiorentina is at best that. I mean, with all due respect, you know, this is a different kettle fish. This is like, you know, the expectations are a lot bigger.
Yeah, fans, especially fans, expect you to come in and I want to see the Cuadrado from Brazil now.
Yeah.
Not in a couple of weeks for you to get yourself acclimated. No, I want to see it now. And then as soon as you have a bad game, it's in the pub. And it's like, what the hell is this guy? Who is this? Why did we pay this much? And it's one game. You know what I mean? It's not the same everywhere. It's not the same as it is everywhere else. It's different there. So,
listen, here's what I see. This signing can go like Jack Potter. I mean, what other way does it go? Okay, we kept him away from everybody.
Yeah, really, pretty much, again, with Chelsea, you know, doing that, right?
Like, in terms of fit, he probably fits more in need. I don't know, like, does he fit more in need in Manchester United? Who does he really fit the need of in the EPL? I mean, anybody can find a place for him.
I don't think any of the top, well, maybe a Southampton, but I don't think anybody in the top, well, maybe Liverpool,
yeah,
too, but the top four, I don't need him.
To Southampton.
I don't think anybody in the top four needs a player like that right
now.
Yeah.
Would they take him? I think that's
of course
you
take him. Like, do you need him? I don't think so.
Yeah. Listen, I've always said this guy should have made his move right after the World Cup.
Right.
Because, like, can you get better advertising than playing?
Yeah, but you also have to.
You play on the best, like, entertaining team, let's say. The most entertaining team in the World Cup.
You also have to look at what the you also have to look at what the agents are doing. So this guy comes off a amazing World Cup, and now it's $50 million, right? And it's like,
yeah,
well,
let's wait. Yeah, exactly.
teams, Fiorentina probably holding out for $40 million
for
the
sure.
guy, and now the agent goes and says, "Yeah, $40 million to Chelsea," and they're looking at him like, "What the hell are you talking about?"
Right. You know, so. And speaking of that, we're probably going to be doing the same, having the same conversation with Paul Pogba coming up very soon.
Oh, yeah, right. What the hell's the date today? 23rd? So the window closes in 8 days.
Yeah.
So you're gonna, there should be...
Does he move this year? No. I don't think he moves this year, right?
You think he moves in the summer?
He wants Champions League football.
Right.
Right, and he I think that's... From what we're hearing and what I'm reading there, and he's saying, he's fine. He fits in well with Juventus, and he wants to try to give it a go in the Champions. So I think he wants Champions League football.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and he's got a chance here with their tie. So that's what I think. But as we know, wackier things have happened.
Exactly. Well, that next show should be interesting because there'll be 1 day, I believe, left in the or 2 days left in the transfer market. So hopefully some signings will go down the upcoming week, and we can definitely discuss that next week and see what teams.
Can I introduce our top five? I just thought of it. Are you okay with this one, Reg?
Go ahead.
Our top five African players of all time. Best African players.
Oh, we can do that.
Like that?
We can do that.
Okay. As always, I'm going to have, because I can't make up my mind, 2 honorable mentions.
Of course. Of course. And one of mine, I can definitely tell you, just scored today for Ghana in the African Cup of Nations against, of all teams, Algeria. But I'll save that for next week. Ghana won today, by the way. 1-0.
There
scored,
you go,
scored in the 90th.
Smile should be on your face, Reggie.
Scored in the 90th minute. Well, in injury time. But, yeah, so now that group especially, and I don't know we're talking about African Cup of Nations, but that group is pretty tight with Senegal.
We will next week.
Senegal, Ghana, and Algeria all on 3 points. So and South Africa coming up next for Ghana. So it's going to get tight, and we're going to have to score a lot. Probably have to score at least 3 or 4 goals in that game but to get through to the second round, but we'll see.
Talk about a tournament where anything can happen.
Oh, buddy. I stream the games, and it's just like... It's not a bad tournament. It's skill, pace. It's a nice tournament. I wish they showed it on channels here, but we get Manchester United.
Let's go, right? Like, get with it. I think now we've seen that there's enough soccer hungry people in North America, and they're soccer savvy, football savvy, that they should get it on. So
we be
all those of you guys who are getting it worldwide. We're jealous.
Yeah, for sure, because we get Manchester United versus Chesterfield or wherever the hell they're playing at 3 o'clock today. That's what we get on TV.
Tell me what they're sitting on. Tell me what they're playing.
Exactly. And it's just to we'll wrap it up real quick, but I went to the under-20 Women's World Cup game here in Toronto, Ghana versus Canada.
Right.
And it was just like you could – it's under-20 girls soccer, so I'm sorry to say, but – you're not going to get 20,000 people to watch that. It's a Tuesday night. It's 7 o'clock.
Right.
You're not going to get that many people to watch it. But the Ghanaians were there in full force, let me tell you. So to put that tournament on TV, you'll get people to watch it. So don't, if you're worried about the ratings and things like that, people will stay home to watch games, trust me. Because people
are going
to
watch it.
My cousin,
begging for it.
My cousin who got me the tickets was like, I'm not even going to work that day. And it's like, it's Canada versus Ghana in an under-20 group game on a Tuesday, and you're not going to work? He's like, no, not going to work. And so, people will watch. So,
one word.
Huh?
Passion.
Yeah, exactly.
One word, it's passion.
Exactly.
It is here. People, don't be afraid. You don't always have to put on hockey and junior hockey. Now, I love it. I support it. It's fine.
Exactly.
But we don't always got to do it. Take a chance. People will watch.
Exactly. Well, that being said, that brings a close to episode 15 of the Football Weekly Podcast. As usual, you can get at us at the website, www.footballweekly.com. Football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly.com. We're on Twitter, @ReginaldDino. And we're on iTunes. We're on FM Player, or Player FM, sorry, I keep saying FM Player. Player FM, we're on Stitcher, and we're also on TuneIn, and there's also a numerous ways you can subscribe to our podcast as well. If you go to the website, there's tons of ways to get it. And we also have a player that's built into each episode section, so if you don't want to download and you don't want to subscribe, you can still listen to each episode within each player. So definitely different ways to get the podcast. So anything else, Joe?
Well, just if you're in the GTA area, please, when Javinko does come here, you know, eat a little casserole, a lasagna, maybe like, you know, some pasta, you know, like something. Tell him, just let's keep him here. Maybe keep him. I'm not sure.
Some bacala, whatever, right?
Oh, Reggie. Hey. Something that's going to keep him happy. Let's keep him here.
Exactly. Hopefully.
Maybe that's why Jermaine Defoe, no, there was enough fish and chips and mushy peas delivered to him.
Well, buddy, anyway. You can get that here. You can get that here. Don't worry about that. You can get that here. Mushy peas.
Thanks,
it's funny.
Rich.
All right, Joe. We'll catch you next week, buddy.
All right.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next week.